Time for us to talk motoring. And last week we had a look at the numbers coming out of March 2024. The new vehicle sales not looking particularly good, down for another month, eighth consecutive month. And we spoke to Kumbi Mchakazi about those numbers. This week we're looking at, is it still worth having a car dealership? Are car dealers doing well? What is the state of being or the state of car dealerships? And maybe you're someone that either works at a car dealership, owns a car dealership, and you'd like to share your experiences. We'd like to hear it on 011-883-0702. You can send us your SMSs on 31702. Is it as tough as it sounds it is? As it sounds it is. Because we look at those numbers, those new vehicle sales numbers, those aren't looking particularly good. We look at the state of the economy, those aren't looking particularly great. I was joking this week, I filled up the car and I said to the petrol attendant, because my full tank is almost 1,600 rand now. And when I got my car, it was 1,004. And I said, maybe it is time I abandon this car thing. Maybe it's time we all stop, because it obviously hasn't worked out. And he joked and he said, but if you guys stop buying cars, then we end up with no work. And I imagine it's the same with the car dealerships. If fewer people are buying cars, car dealerships must be struggling. And so maybe you are in that business. How is it going? How are you staying afloat? Let us know on 011-883-0702, joined by our resident motoring enthusiast, Warren Tucker. Warren, as always, it's good to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Warren. How are you?
You know, winter came early this year, apparently, eh?
I don't know,
maybe it's an election thing or something. I don't know.
I love winter. I'm one of those people who doesn't like summer and really likes cold weather. So I'm very happy. I'm thrilled. But I'm like one out of 66 million people.
Yes, definitely. I was just going to say that. Well, you know, you were talking about the new cars and dealers. It's not only new cars. It's used cars as well. Essentially, the entire value chain at the moment is taking quite a hard hit. I mean, if you talk to anybody that is in the dealer space at the moment, they will tell you that it is quite difficult. And there's a couple of inputs when it comes to a dealership. Number one, you'd obviously need stock for your dealership. You would need a sales team, and then you rely on the banks. The banks are the people that say yay or nay whether people can or can't get finance. Okay, mm-hmm. You've obviously got to advertise and get people through the door, but the banks are the people that hold all the keys. They hold all the trump cards. Now, what we're finding in the dealerships now at the moment, for every 40 applications, so let's say that together, 40 applications, 40, you might get 3 approvals.
Sure.
Of the 3 approvals, you might get 1 uptake. Okay, where the person actually signs and takes delivery of the vehicle.
Sure.
Right? Now, that's due to a couple of things. You've got a couple of factors there. But it's also mainly down to the banks tightening their credit control systems and how they give finance. Okay? So they've tightened that one up. And if you look at the market as a whole, you've got obviously high interest rates. We're sitting with a very high interest rate cycle at the moment. And obviously a higher cost of living. Everything's quite expensive. Electricity's gone up. Fuel goes up on a regular basis. So those are just knock-on effects that start hitting the economy. But what you are starting to see is as resilient as the motor industry's been, I do think, in my opinion, is that the motor industry is struggling tremendously at the moment, albeit new cars or used cars.
And when we're talking about dealerships in this instance, do we mean, so for instance, I got my car from an Audi dealership, right? I went to an Audi dealership and said, I want this car. I got it from there. So that is a dealership belonging to a particular brand, right? And then there are dealerships that sell more than just one brand. And those are generally, I guess, individually owned. So are we talking about the ones that sell a particular brand connected to a particular manufacturer, like the one I went to, or ones where they sell a number of brands?
We're talking about all of them, right across the chain.
So everyone
from the
is
OEMs,
struggling.
Yes, from the OEMs to the independence. So the dealers that sell multiple different vehicles that stand alone, independent of a franchise group or a commercial entity, they are all at the moment sort of weathering the storm that we find ourselves in right now.
And would the smaller ones be struggling a little bit more, the independent ones? Because I would imagine, or maybe I'd assume, that a dealership connected to a particular manufacturer might have a little bit more support or cushioning for these difficult times, or is that not the case?
That is true, and also they've got more options in terms of, you see, when you've got a big franchise group, they will move the vehicles around to where, okay, a particular brand might be selling a little bit better, or a particular model of vehicle might be selling a little bit better. So they will move them around. You've got, if you look at the value chain, okay, if you look at that how that chain works, you have traders or wholesalers. The wholesalers are the people that get vehicles in, that sell them to the franchise and non-franchise dealers. And then the franchise and non-franchise dealers would sell those vehicles on. And this I'm referring to is the used car side of things. And how the wholesalers will get vehicles is normally when a customer trades in a vehicle that's out of a certain specification, the dealer will then offer it to the trade, which is the wholesalers. They will buy the vehicle in, and a particular independent dealer might see value in that vehicle and purchase it from the wholesaler. What's happened is this chain now, because of the way the markets have become tight, the OEMs are now only buying vehicles from keeping the sales internal. So what they're doing is they're buying stock from each other to move the stock off their floors. So if a specific dealer is looking for a specific vehicle, before they can go to the trade, they need to look and see if that vehicle is available in the group, mm-hmm. and then sell it. That's what the bigger OEMs do. With the smaller franchise guys or the guys that are independents, they will then start going to auctions, start going to obviously still speak to the traders and that, but they will need to buy that vehicle in and then match it to the client. Keeping stock at the moment, so keeping in most of the time, in order to sell 22 vehicles, you will need double that in stock. And what's happening is the dealers are trying to keep the stock levels down because they pay interest on those units if they are on a floor plan. If you are lucky enough to have your own cash and the vehicles belong to you, you're in a slightly better position, but you still need to make the sales.
And so when we speak about an OEM, is that the equipment manufacturer? So that would be like a VW. Or a Ford.
Right. So, yes, like your Audi dealership is an OEM dealer, uh-huh. your VW dealership, your BMW dealership, then your independents are your dealers that would basically Joe Soap Motors, and he sells BMs, Toyotas, Fords. He's a multi-brand dealer. He sells on the second-hand market.
How much of the shift to online buying has also made it difficult for car dealerships, in the sense that you can have a look at a car online, come and get a quote on your car. In fact, you can come, the people assessing your car can come to you, they will pay you. You don't necessarily have to go physically to a dealership to get your car. Do we know what impact that has? I mean, we saw this week We Buy Cars listing opening on the JSE, which they've been saying they're going to do for some time now. And they've had mm-hmm. quite significant growth in the mm-hmm. used car sales space. So what impact have brands like We Buy Cars have had on, I guess, the traditional dealership?
Well, the thing is, you must remember, for We Buy Cars to have grown to the way it's grown, 60% of their business is cash sales, which is a large amount of that is wholesale. So they are wholesaling to the dealers. They have an auction in the morning. I think it's from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, which is a dealer-only auction, where dealers are buying vehicles and they're buying vehicles cash. And they're buying those vehicles and taking them and selling them on. To answer your question, the online situation will work with new cars and work with auctions, but anybody that's going to buy a vehicle would want to see the vehicle and want to drive the vehicle before they purchase it. That is just how it goes in terms of buying a second-hand vehicle. A new vehicle, obviously a little bit different. You're buying something new out of the box, so therefore your risk is a lot lower. But the online, or the advent of online auctions, has made it easier for a dealer to maybe be in three places at once. If there are three auctions running at the same time, they can be online on all three and bid on all three auctions. So it does help in terms of convenience. But remember, and I always say this, when you purchase a car from a dealership, okay, the CPA says that dealership has to warrant that car for 6 months, which means that for 6 months, if there's a problem with that car, you can take the car back to that dealer and he's got to sort it out. When you buy a vehicle on auction, or you buy a vehicle from one of these vehicle wholesalers that sell to the public, you are on your own the minute you purchase that car and left that place, right? You are on your own. They will try to sell you.
Is that when you buy it footstoots? Is that the idea?
Yes, they will try to sell you a warranty, which a lot of them do. They'll say to you, well, if you buy from us, you've got to take this specific warranty and bolt on. Read the terms and conditions of that warranty and look at what that warranty is going to pay out should you have issues, right? Yes, the price might be better, but what are you getting? You always think about that, because ultimately you as the consumer are going to be paying for that car for 5 years, 6 years. I've just seen there's some manufacturers offering 96 months installments on a vehicle. You're going to be paying a car for what, 8-9 years?
Oh, is it that high now? I know six is, yes. I thought it used to be five. I've seen six
54.
Now. I've seen 6 years now. I didn't realize that we were nine years now.
Yes, there was 72 months, which I thought was a cap in the absolute, the absolute top end of what it is that you should be paying, or the length that you should be paying a vehicle. But remember also, the banks are trying to sell on one hand, the dealers are trying to get people into new cars, because it's an ecosystem, they feed each other. Mm-hmm. They need to sell new cars to get in second-hand cars for the used car market to be able to thrive. The new car market has to thrive, okay? If you look at what's going on in SA, because our currency is performing so badly against the dollar, and because we've stopped manufacturing so many vehicles here for local and export, we are at the mercy of the rand-dollar exchange. That's why our cars are so expensive at the moment.
And also, would a longer payment period not bring down the monthly installments? So if I'm now buying my VW Polo for about 400,000 rand with a residual over 9 years, doesn't that mean on a month-to-month basis that installment comes down a little bit? Yes, it makes the payment term longer, but my consumer might be in a better position to afford that car, which if they were paying it over 5 years, they might not qualify for that car.
That's exactly what it is. But remember, you're paying a lot more interest on that vehicle.
Yes.
And at the end of when is the break-even point? Traditionally, on a vehicle that as purchased on a 60-month installment plan, your break-even is about 3 years, all right? That's your break-even. That's where your trade has caught up to what it is that you owe the bank, right? And they sort of balance each other out. So after 3 years and you trade the vehicle in, chances are you won't have to pay in any money, right? You'd be able to do the deal, provided you've looked after the vehicle and kept within the parameters. You should be able to walk out of the vehicle or sell the vehicle at retail and make a slight profit on it. On eight years, when would be your break-even point?
Wouldn't it move it up to year five then? Around year five?
Well, we'd get an actuary to come onto the radio station and tell us that. But after 5 years, the vehicle, what sort of condition is that vehicle going to be in if you're driving it every day to work?
Oh, yes.
Your average is 25,000 kilometers a year. you know. So what are you going to be left with? Mm-hmm. That's the question. Yeah. You know, a lot of the cars that are made today, you know, they've made with recycled bits in them. They made to last in a sense, but not as long as what we used to get before.
Let's go to Rory in the Vaal, who has some thoughts on what's happening to car dealerships. Rory, thank you for holding. Good morning.
Morning, Giggs. Morning, Warren. How's it?
Very well, thank you.
Morning, Rory.
Warren's actually a very good colleague of mine, and we do some business together. Yeah. So good morning, yes. Warren. How's it going?
Morning, Rory. Ah, it's going all good. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Giggs, the only thing that came across just to clarify to the listeners, and I'm driving to the office at the moment, and mm-hmm. I'm listening tentatively, and Warren's 100% right. I mean, us dealers in the dealer space, I own a few car dealerships, just that's the reason I called in. And we really are in a situation in South Africa currently where it's very tight to run the dealerships. Our overheads have to be watched really, really carefully. But what did come across on the show so far this morning, you must understand that the OEMs do not own any of the dealerships. They are either owned by big, big groups, the likes of the Imperial Group, Motors, known as Motors, or the Super Group. You got the NMI Group, or it's independently owned. But the OEMs do not own the dealerships. So there's no support that we're getting from any of the OEMs in terms of keeping our businesses going, other than, you know, selling motor cars and giving us incentives and trying to assist us to sell motor cars. But they do not pay towards our overheads whatsoever to help keeping the businesses open and the doors open.
Okay. And yeah. So all of those costs then are on the proprietor, the owner of the dealership.
Quite correct. So in the big groups, obviously, as Warren mentioned, the big groups would put their resources together where they would own numerous franchises, and Wayne was 100% correct in saying that, you know, they've got certain franchises and brands that are selling it slightly better than others, so they might prop up the one branch with profits from a branch that's doing well to one that's not doing as well. But the independent guys, it's their own funding, you know. I am an independent dealer, and you have to source your own funding and watch your overheads within your businesses. And what Warren mentioned, also the funding of vehicles is a very expensive part of our business. You know, we're buying stock. If you're fortunate enough to have cash in the bank to pay for your stock, that's great. But 99% of the dealers in the country have what we call a floor plan facility. And the money's loaned at the banks. And as Warren mentioned, currently in South Africa, our interest rates are at the highest they've ever been.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Rory, thank you very much for that insight.
Thanks you. For a great show, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome listening to you guys every Saturday morning on the motoring side. Thank you.
Thank you, Rory. That's Rory in the Vaal, Drive Safe. And so, Warren, does this mean we might see, for instance, and I mean, we've had this conversation on the show before, that is there a potential future where, you know, the car dealership, you know, that kind of that physical structure where you go in to look at vehicles no longer exists because it's just so expensive? Like Rory saying, the overheads of keeping that physical structure where you can go in and look at a car and sit in the car and drive the car is just so expensive.
Well, I think that if you just need to look around at the amount of dealerships that are closing, and how the dealerships are shrinking, they're going to smaller premises. So in the old days, you'd always find that a dealership was tied to a filling station. It would be tied to a petrol garage. And the thinking there was that obviously by people coming to fill up fuel there, the clients are pulling up, and while they're putting in fuel, they might look through the window and have a look at what's going on there. But also that filling station sort of is a sort of income supplement in terms of the upkeep of the building or the pretty building that you have there, right? And if you've looked over the years that the dealerships have gotten bigger and better and fancier, and, you know, they're these humongous structures worth a couple of hundred million rand, but somewhere along the line that debt needs to be serviced. And, you know, you've got to, it's about pushing vehicles out the door. It's about selling vehicles. That's how you're going to service the debt. Yes, the workshop does its part. There are part sales that go into that, but it's about the business of selling cars. Now, if the Saab would take a look at the country's economics and use the vehicle sales as a barometer as to what's going on in the country, then what's currently happening spells doom and gloom for the economy, because if this continues, you might get into a situation where the new car sales, obviously because of the rand-dollar exchange, become so unaffordable, right? The brands, I'm sure you've noticed that there are brands coming into the country that you've never heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
And these brands are coming in purely based on price, right? Hyundai and Kia are able to stay in the game because those vehicles are manufactured in India and we purchase them in rupees. So it's a lot cheaper than purchasing them in dollars. But if you look at BMW, because the 3 Series is manufactured in America, we are buying that car in dollars, US dollars, and that car is shot up in terms of price like you can't believe. We used to manufacture the 3 Series here. We don't anymore. That was removed from us during the height of load shedding because BMW said that they can't keep up with demand and that they need to move that to a more stable economy in terms of power. They needed a more stable power grid. So in a sense, we kind of are the architects of our own demise at this point. And we obviously need people to look at the economy and definitely make some changes because we might wake up and not have an economy to wake up to.
Sure. Warren, as always, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
That is our resident motoring enthusiast, Warren Tucker. I'd love to hear your thoughts on whether perhaps there is a future where there isn't a car dealership, just given where the state of the economy and the manufacturing and vehicle industry is. Send us your WhatsApps at 0727021702.